About to read from our second scripture passage, which comes from the book of Jonah, the third chapter, the first through the fifth verse, and then also the tenth verse. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an excellently large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on a sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Thought for a second I marked the wrong passage there. But last week, if you remember, Brian preached about the story of God calling Samuel, and even if you weren't here last week, you probably remember that in the story, God is calling to Samuel, and Samuel, thinking that it's his rabbi Eli, goes to Eli 3 times before Eli kind of catches on that maybe it's God calling Samuel and tells him to listen for God. Now, this morning, we have also heard 2 more stories about people being called. In the earlier story that Tank read from the Gospel of Mark, we heard the story of Jesus calling his first disciples to come and follow him. Now in the scripture passage that I just read, we heard the story of God calling Jonah, albeit for the second time, to get up and to go to Nineveh. Now, last week, the focus that Brian preached on and elaborated on was the need for us to listen and to be able to hear God calling us. Now this week, the message for us, I think, is a little different. The stories are still involving people being called by God in some way, but the focus, or the lesson that I want to focus on this morning, is on their responses to the call of God in their lives. Now let's take a look at the response that Jonah made, and Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the big fish, is probably one of the best known stories in the Old Testament. It's a story that many of us have learned from our days in children's Sunday school. And the story of Jonah and the whale is probably one of the first Bible stories that even I remember learning. And we may all have a basic understanding of the story of Jonah and the whale. How Jonah was called by God, and Jonah went in the opposite direction, and then Jonah got swallowed by the whale or the fish and got spit up and then went a second time. But there's a lot more underneath the story, or there in the story, that we don't really teach in Sunday school. And so where this story, or the scripture passage that I read this morning, it picks up halfway through the story. And so I want to rewind a little bit back to the beginning so we can get the larger picture of what was happening in the story. So in Jonah 1:1, at the very beginning, God comes to Jonah and tells Jonah to get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And we all know that instead of listening and obeying God's word, Jonah gets up and he goes in the opposite direction, right? He runs as far away as he can. He goes to Joppa, which is a shipping port, and he buys a ticket for a city in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. Now, while he's on the boat, we know that a storm came up because of God, and the storm was threatening to sink the ship. And the people on the ship threw some lots, and they fell on Jonah. And so Jonah, still not wanting to go to Nineveh, would rather be thrown overboard and die than to to turn around and go to Nineveh, but the Lord provides a whale or a big fish to swallow Jonah. And he spends 3 days and three nights, a very biblical number, in the belly of the fish, or being grounded or in timeout. And then, as the story tells us, that Jonah got spit up or got thrown up onto the dry land or to the beach, and that's where our story picks up, is where Jonah, freshly spit up onto the ground, is sitting there, and God comes to Jonah a second time, and he says, get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and tell them the message that I'm going to tell you. Now, when I was a kid and I learned this story, I only knew the basic things. You know, how Jonah ran in the opposite direction or didn't do what God told him to do, and how he ended up in the belly of the fish, and how then the second time he went to Nineveh and everything went okay. But I didn't really understand, like, the backstory or the history, or why would Jonah run in the first place? I mean, why would he run in the complete opposite direction of what God is telling him to do? But as I grew up and I learned more about the backstory or the shared history that Israel or Jonah, who was an Israelite, and the people of Nineveh had, I began to understand why he may have run in the first place. You see, Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, which is one of the many empires that conquered and occupied the area of the Holy Land for a period of time. And so Jonah probably didn't like Nineveh or the people of Nineveh because they were enemies. He probably even hated them. And you can understand that when you look at the story, and he just, nope, I'm not going. And he runs in the opposite direction. Because he would rather run in the opposite direction and disobey God than give them a chance to hear God's message and to possibly repent. He would hopefully want God to actually put some of that punishment and get some kind of payback. It's probably what was going through Jonah's mind. So he ran in the opposite direction, hoping that God wouldn't notice. But God did notice. And that's how Jonah ended up in the belly of the fish. And that's where we are in this story, where Jonah gets told for a second time to go to Nineveh. And he goes, and the whole city repents. And it's an amazing thing. It's almost too good to believe. Even the king, from the highest person in Nineveh, repented and put on mourning clothes and fasted as well. So here is why Jonah is probably one of the most interesting characters in the Old Testament. You think that Jonah would kind of be ecstatic, right? He probably just became the most successful prophet in the history of Israel. And yet he's miserable. As the story continues into chapter 4, Jonah is outside the city just sulking, right? He should be ecstatic because he went to Nineveh and converted an entire city. A city of over 200,000 people, the scriptures say. And with probably the shortest sermon that's ever been recorded. You see, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. All he said. In Hebrew, it's actually only 5 words long. Now, wouldn't you like to hear a 5-word sermon? Yeah, amen. You see, but even though that Jonah got the entire city of Nineveh to repent, he was still angry. He was still mad. You know, he's outside the city still sulking, and God comes to him, and Jonah says, "You, I knew you would do this, God. I knew that you were always always loving God, a God that's gracious and merciful, a God that is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Jonah knew that God would forgive the people of Nineveh if he gave them the chance. That's why he ran in the other direction, because he was hoping that that wouldn't happen, and that because of their histories that they had, maybe he could get some payback that way. And so that's where the story of Jonah and the whale kind of ends. As Jonah is still out there, he had changed his actions, but he never really changed his heart. Now, if we compare the call of Jonah to the call of the disciples, they would be a little different, wouldn't they? When Jesus called the disciples in the Gospel of Mark, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew, and he got up and told them to follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. And as the scripture says, they immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus. Then a little while later, he came across James and John, and he told them to follow me as well, and they dropped what they were doing, and they followed Jesus as well. Now, if I were to ask you this, this question's pretty easy, but I'm going to still ask it. If I were to ask you who we should be more like, Jonah or the disciples, it would be pretty easy. It would be a pretty easy answer. Should we be more like Jonah, who instead of following God's call on his life, jumps in a boat and goes in the opposite direction, only to later change their mind and to go reluctantly dragging his feet the whole way? Or should he be like Simon or Peter or Andrew or James or John, who upon hearing the call of Jesus immediately dropped their nets and followed Jesus? I think the answer, of course, would be the disciples, that we should be more like the disciples who dropped their nets to follow after Jesus and to do what God was calling them to do. We shouldn't be reluctant like Jonah or completely disobey God like Jonah did. We shouldn't let our personal feelings of animosity or hatred towards a particular group of people get in the way of sharing God's love. What we should really do is just to drop our nets and to follow. But unfortunately, in life, that's not always an easy thing to do. To just drop whatever we're doing, or to drop the things that make us our livelihood and to follow after God. But there is an amazing thing that comes out of these stories when we look at them together. See, in the story of Jonah, God is persistent, or God is stubborn, as Brian said last week. God doesn't give up on Jonah, and even a reluctant prophet like Jonah can't stop God's transformative work. You see, God called Jonah the reluctant prophet who is angry who drug his feet the entire way, and he led him to do amazing things in the name of God. And just the simple exchange of five words, the reluctant, angry prophet Jonah transformed an entire city. And in Mark, Jesus calls 12 disciples who dropped their nets or whatever they were doing, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus, along with his 12 disciples, went on to change the world. You see, I think the goal of our faith life should be more like the disciples, who are ready to drop their nets and to follow after Jesus and to change and to transform the world. But here's the interesting thing that we also must remember, is that God can even use people who drag their feet, people who are angry, like Jonah, who don't really want to do what God is calling them to do. And working through them, God can still do amazing things. And I think it's important for us to remember today, because sometimes we are like the disciples, where we're faithful and we're ready to do whatever God has called us to do. But there's also sometimes when we're like Jonah, and we need a second and a third and maybe a fourth chance to do what God is really calling us to do. So thanks be to God for Simon and Andrew and James and John, who dropped their nets and followed Jesus and gave us a good example of what it means to be a disciple. And thanks be to God for Jonah, the reluctant and foot-dragging prophet. And thanks be to God for being persistent and finding a way to use all kinds of people to do God's work. Amen.